Middle East and Africa. Africa's new nationalists. The geopolitics of the Sahel's coup belt. The strong men who want to reshape West Africa and its relations with the world.
The West's relations with countries in the Sahel seemed to have hit rock bottom in May when Niger ordered America to withdraw its forces by September, having already booted out a French counter-terrorism mission and welcomed Russian military advisers. Then even this bottom fell out. Last month, Niger, which supplies about a quarter of Europe's uranium, revoked the mining license of France's state-owned nuclear fuel company. Many fear the country will now hand over the rights to one of the world's biggest uranium mines to a state-owned Russian firm. Niger's turn against the West comes amid what many in French-speaking West Africa are calling a second independence. It is being spurred by a new generation of nationalists who have taken power in former French colonies from Senegal to Chad and the three core countries of the Sahel, Burkina Faso, Mali and Niger. They have done so amid strident appeals to sovereignty and autonomy in language reminiscent of Ahmed Sekou Touré, independent Guinea's first president, who told Charles de Gaulle in 1958, "Guinea prefers poverty in liberty to riches in slavery." Several have strengthened ties with Russia. All want a new relationship with the West. Sovereignty is the big word in the region these days, says Ibrahim Yahya of Crisis Group, a Brussels-based think tank. It has become almost like a religious dogma. Most prominent among the new nationalists are military leaders from the Sahel trio, where Western forces had been helping the previous governments battle jihadists linked to Islamic State and Al-Qaeda. The wider group includes Bassirou Diomaye Faye, Senegal's newly elected president, and Lieutenant Colonel Mamadi Doumbouya, Guinea's leader since a coup in 2021. "The era of the old Africa is over," Colonel Doumbouya told the UN in New York last year. "This is the end of an unbalanced and unjust era where we had no say. It is time to take our proper place." The new nationalists portray themselves as the modern embodiments of the anti-colonial struggle. Colonel Doumbouya has set about rehabilitating the divisive memory of Sekou Touré, for instance, by renaming Conakry's airport after him. Burkina Faso's 36-year-old Captain Ibrahim Traoré, who grabbed the presidency in a putsch in 2022, styles himself as the reincarnation of Thomas Sankara, a socialist leader who was assassinated in 1987. Some scepticism is in order. Coup leaders nearly always claim to be patriots and often turn out to be self-serving or corrupt. Abdurrahman Chani, the new leader of Niger, launched a putsch against a democratically elected government when he was about to be sacked as head of the presidential guard. There is no evidence that any of the new nationalists have curbed the graft they all complained about. Demands for greater sovereignty partly reflect security concerns. Instability continues to spread across the Sahel more than a decade after France dispatched troops to Mali to put down an Islamist insurgency. With a record 11,643 fatalities linked to jihadist violence in 2023, the Sahel is now the global centre for terrorist attacks. Beginning in Mali in 2020 and followed by Burkina Faso and Niger, the Western-trained local soldiers who have seized power have blamed French troops, who numbered more than 5,000 in the region at their peak 4 years ago, for failing to crush the insurgents. Aggrieved local populations appear to agree. Since 2022, French troops have withdrawn or been expelled from almost the entire Sahel. The last holdout is Chad, but sentiment is changing there too. Mahamat Idriss Deby is thought to be considering an end to a French military presence dating back to 1899. Senegal has suggested that France should recall its troops, and Mali has expelled Danish and UN peacekeepers. Burkina Faso, meanwhile, has hired Russian mercenaries. The targets of its anti-colonial invective now include America, the EU and NATO, says a Western diplomat based there. After army officers in Niger toppled their elected government last year, they kicked out French troops. Less than a year later, the new junta told America to withdraw its forces and close its bases, which had been used to gather intelligence for counter-terrorism operations. Niger has followed Mali and Burkina Faso in signing a military cooperation agreement with Russia. It has also cozied up to Iran, which may have eyes on Niger's uranium. It is not hard to see the appeal of Russia, whose mercenaries provide regime protection and have few scruples about human rights or corruption. Chad's Mr. Deby has threatened to expel American forces and replace them with Russian ones. Another front is economic. For decades, the market share of French businesses in West Africa has been dipping. But some of France's biggest firms, for instance Orange, a telecoms giant, remain highly visible. They have often become targets of popular anger. New mining codes in Mali and Burkina Faso have raised the state's minimum shareholding. In Guinea, home to some of the world's richest iron and bauxite reserves, the regime has revoked more than 100 foreign mining licenses, most of them belonging to Chinese firms, and introduced local content requirements for contractors on mining projects. Most notably, it has renegotiated licenses for a $20 billion iron ore, rail and port development, pushing a consortium of Chinese state-owned firms into a joint venture with Rio Tinto, in a deal that guarantees a 15% stake for the state. In Senegal, Mr. Faye has called for a rupture with the existing model of relations with the West and promises to pursue agricultural self-sufficiency. "If you can't produce what you eat, you can't say you are free," says Abdourahim Kebe, a bigwig in the ruling party. Mr. Faye also plans to review oil and gas contracts with multinationals, which he claims are not in Senegal's interests. "We won't accept being a servant anymore," says Mr. Kebe. A third front is cultural, with calls to shake off the allegedly neo-colonial grip on languages and customs. Senegal's ruling party is said to be considering dropping French as its official language. Mr. Faye's allies talk of reducing French influence in education. In Burkina Faso, the Prime Minister recently urged his citizens to resist Western-imposed cultural alienation. Many of West Africa's nationalists admire Paul Kagame, Rwanda's strongman, for his hard-nosed dealings with the West, economic nationalism and aversion to democracy. Babacar Ndiaye of Wati, a think tank in Senegal, argues that his model appeals because what is important for Kagame is what benefits Rwanda. Though they may evoke the late Sankara, who, whatever his faults, promoted the rights of women, the new generation are not social progressives. Senegal's Prime Minister, Ousmane Sonko, used a recent press conference with the far-left French opposition leader, Jean-Luc Mélenchon, to criticise gay rights and gender equality. Many leaders are clear-cut authoritarians. In May, Mali's junta said it would seek to delay its transition to democracy. The military leadership in Burkina Faso followed suit 2 weeks later, declaring Mr. Traoré eligible to contest elections in 2029. In Guinea, Colonel Doumbouya once promised an end to the era of personalised power. He has repeatedly told foreign officials that he will leave office in 2025. But in Conakry, his image is everywhere. Doumbouya is the alpha and omega of the state, says Sanso Barry, a journalist. Repression is intensifying. Journalists have been locked up or forced into exile. In Guinea, dozens of protesters have been gunned down. Rights groups accuse Burkina Faso's army of massacring civilians. The new nationalists say they are pan-Africanists. Mr. Faye has already renamed the foreign ministry the Ministry of African Integration and Foreign Affairs and toured regional capitals. "We want the pan-Africanist view to spread," says Damon Bodge, a trade union leader and close ally. All are critical of the Economic Community of West African States, or ECOWAS, the regional bloc. Mali, Burkina Faso and Niger have left it, forming the Rival Alliance of Sahel States, or AES, a defence pact and putative confederation. Chad is thought to want to join, but Guinea's junta, which alone is strengthening its ties with Western governments, wants nothing to do with it. Colonel Dumbuya is a former French legionnaire married to a French woman. Though he leads a former Soviet ally, it enjoys friendly ties with France and America, as well as Russia and China. There is a lot to be gained by being the only holdout, notes a Western diplomat. Though Mr. Fay of Senegal sounds sympathetic to the AES, he wants its members to return to ECOWAS. Some want to work with neighbours to establish a new common currency to replace the France-backed CFA franc. But the region is riven by trade spats and disputes over resources. Sanctions imposed by ECOWAS on Burkina Faso, Mali and Niger, since partially lifted, are one reason why interstate tensions are growing to a degree we haven't seen in the region for a long time, says Crisis Group's Mr. Yahya. West Africa's new nationalism is inchoate, sometimes contradictory and vulnerable to authoritarian drift. But it would be a mistake to assume that its standard bearers are unbending ideologues destined for Russia's orbit. As much as these leaders aim to assert their sovereignty, they are not looking to make enemies, says Cameron Hudson of the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington. Instead, their approach to the outside world is to look for the best deal. Niger's junta spent months trying to negotiate a new military agreement with America before it cut ties. Officials in Senegal and Guinea talk of striking win-win agreements with foreign governments and firms. Africa's new nationalists are ruthless and transactional, and unmistakably the product of an increasingly multipolar world.